Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Command Zone podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ, and I'm joined today by...
Craig Blanchett.
Hello, Craig. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thrilled to be here.
You have joined me to do an upgrade guide for Aura of Courage. It is the newest commander pre-constructed deck. It is banned. It is aggressive and auras and equipment and full of courage.
It is legit. Also set in the D&D universe, which I am a fan of.
So. Ooh, very nice. Okay, the rules of this are 10 cards in, 10 cards out, only $30. We're going to break down this whole deck and tell you how you can get to playing it. But before we do, let's thank some of our sponsors. Yeah, let's start off with Card Kingdom. They are spectacular. Look, we know you're going to buy Magic cards because there's no way you can look at all of this content and think, it's okay, I don't need any more Magic cards, because you do.
Well, they're an upgrade guide. We're telling you what to buy. Exactly. So it's pretty obvious you're going to be ordering some of these cards.
That's right. Order the pre-constructed decks. Order some cards. Use our affiliate link, cardkingdom.com/commandzone, to help us out.
Yeah, dope place. And also to protect those cards, you're going to be ordering some new cards that you're going to want to protect. Protect that stuff with Ultra Pro. We've been using Ultra Pro for years now. Their new Ultra Gloss sleeves are incredible. Their Eclipse line, all of their deck boxes, just great ways to protect all of your game pieces.
And then, of course, there's another way to support the Command Zone, and that's directly through Patreon. We love our patrons so much. You can talk to us on Discord. You can see content early. But one of the perks is that we call out one lucky patron on every episode, and this episode is dedicated to
Kurt McClure.
Kurt, you rock.
You do rock. You may have heard of Kurt from such films as... Have you never seen the Troy McClure thing?
I have seen Troy McClure, yes. Kurt McClure. All right, let's talk about this pre-constructed deck because it is so fun to get brand new commander decks with just new things put together. So our goal here today is to break this down, to find out what commanders are in it, what new legendaries that we can have, find out what the value of it is, the reprint value, because these things are always chock full of value. So we're going to break that down. We're going to find out what the stats and the strategy of this deck. And then finally, we're going to upgrade it. Because you know what? These are fun to play right out of the box, but a lot of you are going to want to play it against your friends with their existing commander decks. So you got to find a quick and easy way to pump up the power level to get it so that you can play against the commander tables out there. And so we're going to tell you how to do that.
Absolutely. And the nice thing is they've made these commander decks so much better over the past couple of years. You know, you'll see as we start to go through some of the stats that, you know, they've really put a lot of thought into these. And it really doesn't take much to take these pre-cons to the next level now, which is awesome.
And you're going
to
guide us through it.
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right. Well, why don't you share with us the first commander, the face commander of this deck?
All right, so we have Galea, Kindler of Hope. She is a 4/4 elf knight legendary creature for 1 green, white, and blue. She has vigilance and says, you may look at the top card of your library at any time. Very cool, always relevant. You may cast aura and equipment spells from the top of your library. Okay, so kind of pseudo card draw there, which is awesome. When you cast an equipment spell this way, it gains when this equipment enters the battlefield, attach it to target creature you control. So it's kind of like that that aura that
Sigarda's aid that helps you attach equipments.
Attach to a creature which is in your command zone, which is pretty nuts.
Okay, so cheating the equip costs, like cheating mana, that's a good thing, right?
It seems to be a good thing from my experience, yes.
And then casting off the top.
Like pseudo card draw.
That's pseudo card draw. That's also a good thing too.
Pretty good.
Okay, so we're getting the hints of what this deck is about. Auras, equipment, and then you have the way to cheat equip costs and cheat them into play.
which is very cool. We haven't really seen this in a commander yet, which is exciting.
Good colors too.
Yeah, in Bant colors too. Like the Voltron really does well in Bant. We've seen a little bit of this from like Rafik and some other Bant commanders in the past, but I think this one's going to be unique and very fun to kind of build and play.
Yeah, I can see ways of manipulating the top of your deck. Like Enlightened Tutor literally puts an artifact or an enchantment on top of your library.
Seems pretty good.
You can like put into play. Like there are things in green and blue that just literally manipulate the top of your deck. Like Orcal Voldia lets you play lands off the top, you know?
Soothsaying.
I mean, there's this is known strategies that let you play with the top of your deck, and there are known strategies that help you sort of set everything up.
Absolutely.
And we know that equipment and aura strategies are really popular.
Yeah, and you know, and they've printed a lot of equipment recently, reprinted a lot of the best equipment in the past kind of year with a lot of the sets, and so they've really been ramping up to something like this, where you kind of get to cheat some of those cards.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited about the face commander of this, but it's not the only commander that we have in this deck. We have sort of a backup commander. Why don't you introduce us to?
All right, Storvald, Frost Giant Jarl. It's 4 green, white, blue for a legendary creature giant, 7/7. It has ward 3, and it gives other creatures you control ward 3. It also says, whenever Storvald enters the battlefield or attacks, choose one or both. Target creature has base toughness 7/7 until end of turn, and target creature has base power and toughness 1/1 until end of turn. So, very interesting, you know, for someone like me, I immediately thought of Infect for something like this, because, you know, if you go heavy into the Bant Infect, first of all, there's good creatures. Second of all, to be able to give, you know, make them 7/7s and then reduce your opponent's blockers to 1/1s, it kind of sets the power dynamic up a little bit. That
definitely an attacking general, right? Like you definitely, like you're going to be attacking if you're making things 7/7s.
Absolutely. Right.
Okay. A little bit hard to come down. Like a lot of times Infect needs to be like, you know, you want to get on the board early and be aggressive, right? You don't want blockers in the way or people interacting with your stuff.
You want to be fast with Infect, and you know, this definitely, you know, at 7 CMC is a little bit high for something like that, but you can build around that. You know, enough ramp and enough you know, good creatures to kind of lay the base. You should be able to build something like that.
Do you know what I get excited about when I see raising the base power and toughness of something is actually like +1/+1 counter synergies or Hydras, because Hydras are 0/0s with a bunch of +1/+1 counters on. And so then, you know, when you're making it a 7/7, you're giving it +7/+7.
You're giving
which is
it a
way better than like, you know, just making a 4/4 7/7.
Absolutely. You're basically giving it righteousness every time.
Good throw.
Yeah.
Throwback
that's
to
right.
righteousness.
I played since 94.
Which is a blocking creature, I believe, right?
It is, yeah. So, all right.
I love it. Okay, so definitely kind of, maybe doesn't have anything to do with ores or equipments, but definitely synergizes with buffing things, like buffing power and toughness, making your attacks a little bit easier by nerfing your opponent's creatures. Okay,
absolutely.
I can see that. There's one more legendary creature in this deck, new legendary creature, but it cannot easily be the commander of this pre-constructed deck because it is only 2 colors. It's just green and a white, and you'd have to cut all the blue cards out, which is way too much. So we will not be considering this for running the pre-constructed upgrade guide, but it's good to talk about anyways.
Yeah.
Introduce us to the next one.
Caddy Bree of Mithril Hall. She is a 2/2 legendary creature human archer for a green and a white. She has first strike and reach, and whenever Caddy Bree of Mithril Hall attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it for each equipment attached to it. You can pay 1 and remove all the +1/+1 counters from Caddy Bree, and it says it deals X damage to target attacking or blocking creature in opponent controls, where X is the number of counters removed this way. So kind of similar to like Idrana, and then there's the white-black guy from the original Commander
like
set.
Karlov?
Similar.
Can kill things with +1/+1 counters?
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of
them. There are a lot. You're right. It's a very Orzhov thing. So, but now in white green seems,
you gotta get equipment on this. Okay. So you get equipment on it and then you attack and then you get the +1/+1 counters and then you can remove them. I think that the thing I want to do is either get a lot of equipment onto her really cheaply so that she gets pumped up like crazy with a bunch of +1/+1 counters.
Sure.
Or, how about if I just give her death touch? Cause she's got first strike. And I can remove a counter and have her deal 1 damage death touchy.
Seems legit. Especially with Basilisk Collar, which is in the deck. So There we go. We okay. broke the game.
There we All go.
Right. I'm done.
Okay, very cool. Seems like it belongs in this deck because it needs equipment, you know what I mean? And we have the combo in here, but can't lead the deck, you know? Yeah. So now we're getting into a little bit more detail about what the deck does. We have some ideas from our commanders. It's going to be yours. It's going to be equipment. It's going to be about attacking, nerfing your opponent's creatures, buffing your own. But let's talk about some of these
stats.
All right, let's talk about the most basic stats. Things like ramp. How many ramp spells do we got in this deck?
9 ramp spells in this deck.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's nice. That's right in that sweet spot that we recommend for commander decks. How about card draw?
Card draw, there is also 9.
Okay. Seems good. How about single target removal?
Single target removal is also 9. There seems to be a theme here, DJ.
But what I think the theme is that actually it seems well-balanced.
It does seem really well-balanced.
Like things are good. Well, how many board wipes are there?
3. Very well balanced. Also very well balanced.
I mean, yeah, that sounds really good. Like just, and actually we don't have a lot of things to say about the different categories because honestly, like they're good examples of ramp and card draw. Like some of them might be a little bit commander clunky or something like that, but there are just good versions of it.
In Absolutely. Here. And the board wipes too, you know, 3 is a good starting number. But meta dependent, you know, that's where you kind of determine whether to go up or down from there.
Got it. Okay. So just really well-rounded stats, but let's talk about the ones that are specific to this deck. We know that there's going to be a bunch of auras and equipments in here. How many equipment matters cards are there in this deck?
There are 20 equipment matters decks. Ooh,
that's a lot. Okay. How about, aura matters?
There are 14 of those.
Okay.
So we know which direction the deck is going.
A little bit for equipment. By the way, there is some overlap. It's not like there are 34 cards that are all together. There are some that care about auras and equipments,
yep.
And they count for both categories.
Okay.
But yeah, it sounds like this is an aura and equipment deck. Like,
seems pretty straightforward to me.
So things that synergize with auras and equipments are going to be good in this deck.
That's right.
But Craig, you broke this thing down. You ran it through its paces. You found that even though it seems really well balanced in a lot of areas, there's one area that it's a little bit short on.
Yeah, I was surprised to find out there were only 16 creatures in this deck. 16 is really low, especially for a format like Commander where you need a blocker up most of the time.
And I think that with a deck like this, like you might be able to get away with 16 creatures, but they would have to be like really tuned to these exact 16 creatures.
Right.
It feels like if you just have a commander deck where you have some creatures that are like, yeah, this creature's fine. Like that doesn't cut it when you have just this many because equipment and auras do nothing if you don't have a target for them, right?
Absolutely. Or if somebody's going wide and you need to defend, you know. Mm.
Okay, so we noticed the creature count is a little bit low, so that's something that we might need to just keep an eye on, especially if we're upgrading, maybe up the creature count, maybe make sure not to cut so many creatures while we're doing it. And then, of course, we know that our commander deals with auras, it deals with enchantments. It also has you playing off the top of your deck, so is there any top deck manipulation in this deck?
There is a little bit of top deck manipulation in this deck. You know, there's Brainstorm, a few other cards, but, you know, not the heavy hitters like Top or like Soothsaying or, you know.
Soothsaying.
Or you Sylvan Library. Soothsaying's great, man. Soothsaying's awesome.
You're comparing Sensei's Divining Top and Sylvan Library and then throwing Soothsaying in the same conversation. But you're right.
I play it in the same decks. Just saying.
Listen, there. If you want more top deck manipulation, there are other things that you can put in there. I don't think that we're going crazy on top deck manipulation right now.
Right.
And then even small upgrades like the Scrylands. The Scrylands are not in here. I'm not going to complain about the lands because actually the lands are great reprints in here. Scrylands are not very expensive.
Yep.
But we're not touching the mana base for our upgrades. So that's just something, just free advice right there. Scrylands. You know, could help you play an artifact or an equipment or an aura off the top of your deck.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the stats have given us a clue. Really well-balanced deck, maybe a little bit light on creatures, loves auras and equipment. Yep. Great job. But there's some other stats. The deck's value. Let's talk about the value of this deck. Remember, this only takes into account the value of the reprints, 56 of them. It does not take into account the new cards because this is before the deck is released. You know, there are no new cards and prices for them right now. And one thing that's good is that we've done the same thing, the same process for all of the pre-constructed decks. So this is a comparable data point. It is just doing reprints at the time of recording. And The total reprint value at time of recording, Craig, reveal it for us.
$138.65, DJ.
Whoa. Okay.
It's insane, this deck.
To put that into perspective, the Strixhaven reprint average was $88.
Yeah.
We've actually done this same thing for years. And so over the past 3 years, the average reprint value for a pre-constructed deck is $87.
Which is also great. For $35, that's what you expect,
right? $35, $40, yeah. It's just like, it's great. But then this one comes in at $138, you're just like, what?
$50 more than the others. $50 more than the average. You could buy a second pre-constructed deck for less than what you save. That's how money works,
oh,
right?
Oh my God.
You have to spend everything that you save, right?
Okay. So clearly it's just like a great value. Let's find out where the value is. You know, is it all in one card? Is it a bunch of $2 cards or $1 cards? Like, you know, let's figure it out.
Yep.
So looking at the reprints, there are 22 cards worth more than $2. We're going to read them all off for you. There are 7 cards over $5. To put that into perspective, Strixhaven had only 3 cards over $5 per deck.
Yeah.
This is more than double.
Yeah. This is the most over $5 cards we've ever seen.
Amazing.
I believe.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go through the notable reprints. Take us through the cards that are in the teens.
Yeah. So Heroic Intervention was $15. Awesome, awesome card. Protects your board. You know, this set has a brand new art, which looks awesome. Just, you know, when you're going for a strategy like this, where you're kind of trying to build up a board state, Heroic Intervention really is invaluable when you really need it. It's an instant for 1 green and 1 that basically protects your board, gives everything indestructible and
hexproof. Yeah, for sure.
Can't beat that.
Okay. Sword of the Animus coming in at $15. This is an equipment deck. You know, having a great equipment that helps you ramp is going to be really good. And then I think the next one actually is just a solid inclusion, Utopia Sprawl.
Yeah, incredible ramp. That's an aura for a land. Just, you know, 1 CMC.
1 green to ramp you. Like, we talk about how important 2-mana ramp is to get these 2-mana ramp spells to be able to get you into the mid game. 1-mana ramp is just great. And this card was $14.
Yeah.
Like,
and for good reason. For an uncommon or a common too, right? Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Next we have Pure Steel Paladin coming in at $13.
Yep.
If you're having an equipment deck, great, you want to draw cards, right?
Yep. Great way to cheat.
Awesome. What do we have next?
We got Nature's Lore for $6.50. Great card, you know, needed a reprint. We've got some new art on this one. It's hasn't been reprinted in a while except for that secret lair.
Oh,
yeah. But search your library for a forest, any forest, put it into play. So if you're fortunate enough to have dual lands or shocks, you can search for that, or you just go for a basic forest. Overall, great card though.
2-mana ramp is great. Imprisoned in the Moon was $5.
Yeah.
This is aura based removal, and we can play auras off the top of our library, so that seems good.
Very good. Also one of blue's best removal spells, because it turns it into a land, which, you know, takes away anything that, you know, target non-land permanent, takes all of that away. So
And then also can strand commanders useless on the battlefield.
Absolutely.
Which is always good.
Yep.
We also have Greater Good. This is a heavy hitter, right?
That is a heavy hitter.
$5, you know, and being reprinted, it's going to bring the price down for sure. Greater Good can have you drawing a ton of cards.
Oh, especially with, you know, if you get an equipment or a creature that's equipped heavily, you know, and somebody else tries to steal it, you sack it to Greater Good. You know, you get a 2-for-1 there where you draw a bunch of cards and prevent them from getting the creature. Greater Good is very, very, underplay.
It's greater than good. It's awesome.
It is. It also builds up your graveyard, which is good in some strategies.
Yeah. We have the aforementioned Basilisk Caller coming in at $4.50.
Yes.
Equip it to Bree over here and then go crazy.
Yep.
Argentum Armor, which is one of those big, beefy pieces of equipment. It was coming in at $3. Canopy Vista coming in at $3. Fortified Village at $3. Port Town at $3. We have 3 lands at $3, all getting reprinted, so we're basically making sure that our budget mana bases are actually budget, because, you know, these are not high, like these are not lands that should be $3. Hopefully everyone can include these lands in all of their decks. They're dropped down to like a dollar and we can have really comprehensive budget mana bases.
The great thing about these lands is they're conditional come in tapped. So a lot of times you can actually have them come in untapped, you know, with stuff like this. So, you know, the Canopy Vista, there's a lot of basic lands in here. So high likelihood that comes in untapped. Same with the Fortified Village and the Port Town, you know, a lot of basic lands in here. So reveal one from your hand and now you're starting off, especially in the beginning, you want those dual lands. So being able to kind of get a dual land out first and kind of reveal one of those basics, it's just a lot better than a lot of the ramp or a lot of the lands that they've given us in some of the past precons.
Sounds good. We got Masterwork of Ingenuity coming in at 275. If you got extra equipment, hey, you got an extra one.
Why not? Somebody else is playing a swords. Copy
that. Oh, yeah, I know, right? Yep. That's always the best. Yep. Someone else has an expensive card, and you're like, yes, please, and
I'll have one of those, please.
Soul Ring, classic, 250. Serum Visions, a little draw spell cantrip at 250. Knight of Autumn, 225. Look, you know, gain some life, make a big creature.
It's just great.
Destroy an artifact or enchantment.
Great versatility. You know, three options on one creature for three CMC. It's underplayed.
Can't go wrong. Yep. Arcane Signet at $2. But here's the one that I'm really excited about. Colossus Hammer at $2.
Especially with this commander's ability, that's going to be insane.
Cheat it directly onto something? Oh my gosh, that's I love awesome. Colossus Hammer. A Swiftfoot Boots coming in at $2.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great reprint. SRAM Senior Edificer, drawing cards.
Good card
working
draw.
With the synergy right here.
Yep.
Verdant Embrace, you know, I didn't know that was $2, but it is just a powerful aura.
One of my favorite cards in Magic, honestly. You know, it gives
Whoa,
a buff.
Okay.
It gives a buff to a creature, right? But then it has the text of giving you a 1/1 every turn. So it's like a Tendershoot Dryad, but on
like
another
creature. Like a Verdant Force.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the original Verdant Embrace, you know, making it that. Yeah. Very cool. Seaside Citadel coming in at $2. So rounding out that mana base. That was a huge list, 22 cards. And that's why this deck is worth $138.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's so much good in here, you know, like the Sword of the Animist. You know, I feel like I'm going to be grabbing a couple
Heroic
of these
Intervention,
boxes.
Right?
Heroic Intervention, yeah, absolutely. Especially with this art. This art is like, makes it worth buying, for me, multiples of this, because I do need Sword of the Animist for some of my decks. The Heroic Intervention art is awesome. And just a lot of these other staples, you know, like Utopia Sprawl, like you said.
Yeah,
it's
for
just,
sure.
You're going to use a lot of these cards in other decks.
So. Oh, phenomenal reprints. Great, great stuff here, Wizards. Okay. So we've talked about the commanders. We've talked about sort of the stats, finding out that this deck is really an aura and equipment base. We even talked about some of the reprints. So we know some of the sort of high value cards you might want to keep in this deck. Who is going to be the commander? The one that synergizes with auras and equipments and lets you cheat them into play, or the one that makes things 7/7s?
I think it's going to be the auras and equipments one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, if you're doing like a whole rebuild, maybe Storvald, but with what we're going for, and even if, you know, even if you just have opened a bunch of packs, Galea is, she's legit.
She's legit.
Yeah.
I think that like we already looked at like Colossus Hammer and Argentum Armor as two things that like, if you can play that off the top of an immediately equips, like it's crazy, right? It's just so good.
You, if your commander's out, you have at least her to equip it to. So, you know, and then with all the other creatures that we're going to mention, it's, you know, kind of a no-brainer.
All right. So we know who our commander is. We didn't need any brain to do it. That's fine. But let's talk about sort of the best cards in the deck. What are the cards that are sort of signposts that let us know that this is the commander? This is what we're looking for in this deck. This is what we want to play.
Yeah, so first we have Mantle of the Ancients. It's enchantment aura for 3 and 2 white. It says... Let me do this here. Haha. It says, when Mantle of the Ancients enters the battlefield, return any number of target aura and or equipment cards from your graveyard to the battlefield attached to enchanted creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 for each aura and equipment attached to it. So this is nuts in this deck because you can play it off the top of your library because it's an aura.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And for late game, you know, a lot of this Bant, it's tough to get a lot of graveyard recursion from Bant, but this allows you to kind of late game, you get one creature out there, say you get this off the top or it's even in your hand. Now you get all of those artifact, those enchantments and and those equipment out of your graveyard onto that Voltron creature, and it's getting +1/+1 for each of them. Like,
it's getting huge.
It just makes a haymaker out of nowhere for 5 CMC.
So I think that one of the things that we definitely want to keep in the back of our minds is with these kinds of decks is that they overcommit to the board sometimes. You know,
yes.
You play a creature and then what? It's not just that creature that's doing something, you are suiting it up. So, you know, you're putting an aura on it, you're putting an equipment on it, you're putting all this stuff on it, you're building up this creature to make this big chonky thing.
Yep.
And then a single removal spell or a board wipe suddenly is taking out way more than a single creature. It's actually taking out a lot of cards.
Right.
And this gives you the ability not just to get a couple back, not just to like retether, you know, a couple things back to your commander, but like really just bring back everything, just getting those equipment back too and auto equipping them. I mean, it's definitely just like a big play that helps you rebuy and get like, well, I don't know, like a 5-for-1, a 6-for-1. Make your creature attack out of nowhere. Could bring back a Swiftfoot Boots and give it haste.
Like, imagine if somebody has been making you mill or, you know, or they've just cast like a Bane of Progress or something like that. So now.
Oh, yeah. Like normally you've been blown out and like you can't recover.
Right. Exactly. And a lot of people know this playing against Voltron decks. So it really is, especially with the meta currently, a very interesting card that really will come out of nowhere, and a lot of people won't see this coming.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. All right. Next up, we got another new card that serves kind of a similar purpose.
Yeah, this one's pretty sweet. It's called Robe of Stars. It's artifact equipment for 1W. It says equipped creature gets +0/+3, so gives it a big butt. And it says Astral Projection. 1W, equipped creature phases out. And its equip cost is 1.
So this gets on a creature really easily. It
yep.
doesn't help with attacking. Like, it gives toughness boost.
Sure.
So that's like, you know, a lot of times you want your equipment to like be aggressive, you know?
But sometimes you want, so it allows you to attack with more confidence.
I mean, I have supreme confidence because for 1W, I can just phase it out at any time.
Exactly.
Right?
So if somebody does play a battle trick and let's say you calculate their power versus your toughness, you're like, oh my, you know, I've got a big enough butt to withstand this block. Then they somehow, you know, pump it up or something like that. Like you're saying, you can use its astral projection to phase that creature out. Which is, we haven't really seen an equipment like this before, and is very interesting with artifact and equipment, or auras and equipment, because with the phasing ability, all of that stuff stays attached to that creature.
Oh.
So when that phases out and phases back in, you're not disassembling your Voltron creature. You're just protecting it.
That's cool, because like if you were to protect it by like ephemerating it, like blanking it out and back, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, blank your single target removal by flickering it in and out.
Yep.
You lose all your auras. You lose all your equipment.
Clank, 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 clank.
Yeah, it all falls off, and then your Voltron deck stinks. This actually protects it and makes it so that, do you know what else with phasing out too? It dodges board wipes. It doesn't just come out and come back in.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it stays phased out until it's ready to come back in. And so if someone board wipes, you're like, nope, I'm going to protect my thing.
And protects everything attached to it. So let's say you have a Sword of War and Peace on it, right? And someone's like, I go to destroy your Sword of War and Peace. Nope, I phase that out. And now
out along with the commander.
Along with the commander. So now everything's protected. Very, very cool card.
This has other levels of protection that I didn't calculate, and I am so stoked about it. 2 mana is not a lot to hold up either.
No, you know? It's not. It's just the fact that it's white makes it a little bit more, narrow as far as what you can put it in. But I think that's good. I think that's a smart decision by Wizards.
Awesome. Okay. Those sound like great, you know, auras and equipment right there.
Yep.
Let's move on to a different kind of enchantment. We already talked about it once.
Yeah, a few of us. So we've talked about Greater Good already. It's just a great good card. It's an enchantment for 2 in green. Says sacrifice a creature, draw cards equal to the sacrifice creature's power, then discard 3 cards. So this card works in a lot of different ways, you know, especially with this kind of Voltron, you're typically making one big creature and trying to get through with that. So, you know, let's say somebody tries to target your creature or something like that, or steal it in the worst case scenario. With Greater Good, you sack your creature to the Greater Good, draw cards equal to its power, and then you can also fill up your graveyard a little bit. So let's say you know, you have a few equipment in your hand, you could then use something like Mantle of the Ancients to kind of like get it all back. So there's a little bit of synergy, but not too much.
So I have a question. Yeah. We got Greater Good in here. We've already lamented the low creature count. Like, are we activating this a lot? Like,
no, but you don't have to. You know, for 4 CMC, you know, you're comparing it to something like Harmonize or something like that.
Yeah, so I'd want to draw 5 cards and discard 3. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, exactly. You want it to be a 5 CMC. So, you know, having some of these small creatures and then some of the equipment on them can boost them up above 5. And there's a couple equipment in here that boost +6/+6. There's a couple that boost +10/+10.
Okay. I like that.
Now you're starting to really cook with gas. So
draw 10, discard 3. Okay.
Well, typically, you have me really excited. Draw 11, right? Because you're probably slapping it onto a 1/1 at least.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm liking this a little
greater,
bit more.
Greater good is great and good.
Okay. I'm a fan. I was a little bit worried when you were talking about the low creature count that we wouldn't be able to use this as much.
Sure.
But now that you described the situation where I draw 11 cards, I'm excited again.
Especially late game, because you'll probably draw into multiple other creatures if you have only one. Now you can kind of relay your board.
Yeah. You definitely need to make sure that your card draw is in place here because, you know, you are over committing to the board sometimes with a Voltron strategy.
Absolutely.
Okay. But we also can look to some protection. Heroic Intervention, the reprint, we got to call it out in the best card section. It's 1 green for an instant. Permanents you control gain hexproof and indestructible until end of turn. Protect your stuff.
Yes, protect.
I mean, it's just great to protect your stuff. And also, I mean, that's kind of what we've been talking about here. You know, we have the get your card back. Protect your stuff. We have the phase your stuff out, protect your stuff. We have a sacrifice and regain your card value, protect your stuff. And then we have the
protect your stuff.
Protect your stuff. So like that seems like that's the theme of this deck a little bit.
It's
the way to make your deck better.
Exactly.
We got one more card.
Yeah, this one's kind of a bonus here. Cold-Eyed Selkie, just a great reprint, you know, especially with all these equipment and auras that you're going to be casting. Cold-Eyed Selkie is a 1/1 for 1 and hybrid Simic for a Merfolk Rogue. It has Island Walk and says, whenever Cold-Eyed Selkie deals combat damage to a player, you may draw that many cards. So the fact that it is Island Walk already gives it a great kind of evasion where you're very likely to play against at least one other player at the table that has...
I feel like there's always Islands.
There's always a blue player, right? Like, and so, you know, to be able to kind of chip in at them, and then any bonus that you give to this creature, you're going to draw that many cards. You're going to draw at least one, but realistically, you're probably going to be drawing like 3 to 5 every time this hits somebody.
I mean, you're reminding me of the Colossal Hammer again, and I'm imagining 11 cards. Colossal
Hammer's the dream with this.
I'm just imagining playing that off the top onto this and then drawing 11 cards.
Dude, by turn 5, you could be... So you get this out, then you get your commander out, then turn 5, you cast the Colossal Hammer, or you ramp up and you can cast your commander and the Colossal Hammer the same turn, put that on this, swing for 11 by turn 4? Oh my God.
That's pretty great.
That is pretty great. It's a dream scenario, but...
But here's the thing. I think that what you're describing, the dream scenario doesn't need to happen. Cold-Eyed Selkie just needs like a Sword of the Animist or a Basilisk Call or anything on it to just suddenly have you drawing card after card after card after card. It seems so solid.
Yep.
Okay. Those are the call-out cards, some of the best ones that we have. We're going to start talking about what cards that you're going to add, what cards you're going to have to take out. But before we do that, let's take a quick break for our mid-roll sponsors.
Ooh.
See you in a minute.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now All you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome back. We are talking about upgrading this deck. There are some rules. You can't just throw in any old card. We want to make sure that you have 10 cards in, 10 cards out, and we're not going to be throwing money at this thing. We want it to be able to start hanging with other commander decks, and so we're keeping the budget right around $30. Craig, what 10 cards have you chosen to boost the power level of this pre-constructed deck?
So, especially looking at the list for this deck, you know, it was very clear that it needed a lot more creatures. So 16 didn't seem like enough. And, you know, there definitely seems to be some creatures that really synergize with this kind of strategy. First one's Armored Sky Hunter. It's 3 and a white for a 3/3 flyer, Cat Knight. Whenever Armored Sky Hunter attacks, look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may put an aura or equipment card from among them onto the battlefield. If an equipment is put onto the battlefield this way, you may attach it to target creature you control. Put the rest of those cards on the bottom of your library in a random order. So this is just nuts with this strategy. You know, with the amount of equipment and auras that you have in this deck, and this can search the top 6 cards of your library every time, it's like...
You're pretty bound to hit, right? Like, I think if we go through the math of, like, almost a quarter of your deck is auras or you know, equipment or something like that.
It's more closer to a third. It's about 30 cards.
Wow.
That are... So, you know, your likelihood in 6 cards is you're likely to hit 2 of them.
Which one am I going to choose?
Which one of the two? Yeah, exactly. If not more, you know, like, you're very likely to hit one, very unlikely to whiff. Even if you do, it's 4 CMC for a 3/3 flyer. At least it has evasion, you know, but... Best case scenario, you're now starting to cast stuff for free, equip it for free.
Man, it's that so free you're, equip too, because your commander already equips for free.
Yeah.
So like you like that theme of equipping for free.
It's no different from ramping. You know, it's no different from getting a free 5 mana during a turn, let's say.
If you get your Colossal Hammer equipped.
Oh my goodness.
It loses evasion though. It must be bad. It loses flying.
Oh, not worth it. Never mind.
I just have to keep talking about Colossal Hammer over and over again. It's like my dream card in this thing. And it's not, we didn't even mention it in the best card scenario.
I know. It's crazy. The amount of good cards in this deck is high.
All right. So this seems like a no-brainer. There's just a critical mass of equipment and auras in here. So getting them onto the battlefield and equipped sounds amazing.
Yep.
Okay. Next up.
Next up is Arden, Intrepid Archaeologist. It's 2 and a white for a 2/2 core scout. At the beginning of combat on your turn, you may attach any number of auras and or equipment you control to target permanent or player. So the fact that this guy for 3 CMC can take all of your equipment and auras that are on the battlefield, they don't have to be equipped to anything or attached to anything, and swing them all onto one creature, creating this one like massive haymaker, it just, the, again, the cheating of the CMC, the cheating of the equip cost is like ramp. It's like getting free mana during your turn.
Yeah, it really lets you sort of recalibrate your Voltron. You know, you have auras over here and over there, or like they killed the creature and your equipment fell off. Now you have the ability to sort of say, okay, I'm rebuilding my Voltron from scratch. Seems right. Great. And Armored Sky Hunter, by the way, 75 cents. Ardan is 25 cents. So none of these cards so far is like breaking the budget.
Yeah, very, very reasonable as far as cost.
Yeah. Next up, got another good one.
Yeah. Next up is Trigon Predator. It's one green and a blue for a 2/3 flying beast. Says whenever Trigon Predator deals combat damage to a player, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment that player controls. So this card used to be kind of a staple back in like 2012, 2013, because there wasn't too much artifact or enchantment removal. And the fact that this was attached to a flyer really kind of gave a lot of, board control to that Simic player. Because, there's always somebody without a flyer. You know, there's always somebody with some sort of artifact or enchantment that's becoming a problem. And let's say they even do have a flyer. There's enough ways to give either enough power and toughness to this or enough evasion to this to be able to hit those players and start kind of dealing with their board a little bit.
So value when it connects. Yep. And a good body to that's already evasive to sort of suit up.
Right.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
And 25 cents, very reasonable.
Yes.
All right. Next up, we've got one of my favorites. It's Sun Titan. Sun Titan is 4WW for a 6/6 giant with vigilance. Whenever Sun Titan enters the battlefield or attacks, you may return target permanent card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that this is another level of sort of recursion, sort of this protection element, because you play this giant and suddenly it's a built-in 2-for-1. You bring back your Cold-Eyed Selkie. You bring back your auras that ended up dying there. You bring back your Trigon Predators. And how's the CMC of this deck? Is it hitting a lot of things?
The CMC on this deck is very, very low. So the fact that Sun Titan's going to hit a good portion of your card.
Sounds good. Okay. I like that.
And there's also one more thing about Sun Titan that's kind of, often side-looked, but for this with the Voltron deck, the fact that it has Vigilance, it means that you can attack with it and still leave up a 6/6 blocker, which is very important for something like this where you're not really going wide, you're more going tall. Mm. And so you need those blockers sometimes. And a 6/6 body is not something to look lightly at. Something that a lot of times
your commander has vigilance too. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's interesting because like when I think of Voltron, I think of like, we'll do everything to attack. Craig, you're thinking more long-term about how the games actually play out, which is like, no, actually like you become a threat and you don't have the creatures to block if you're constantly needing to attack.
Yes.
So you're thinking defensively along with this.
Right. Which leads right into the next card, which is Windborne Muse. 3 and a white for a 2/3 flyer spirit. It says creatures can't attack you unless their controller pays 2 for each creature he or she controls that's attacking you.
Ghostly Prison.
Yeah. But attached to a flying creature.
You already want a creature. You already want something that's flying. It can attack, and then your opponents can't really profitably attack you with a bunch of creatures back.
Exactly. I mean, the fact that it has, evasion, built-in evasion with the flying, and then, again, all of these artifacts and enchantments that are going to buff up this creature and, allow it to swing in. And like you said, then you also have the pillow fort aspect of like a ghostly prison or a propaganda kind of built into it, just makes it kind of a no-brainer, especially for that CMC.
Got it. Okay. So coming in at 75 cents, you are definitely on track for this $30 budget.
Yeah.
We spent under $3 so far.
We have achieved the goal.
All right. But next we've got...
Yeah, we start to climb up in the price a little bit.
Next one's $7 card.
This card's good. Halvar, God of Battle / Sword of the Realms. Halvar, God of Battle is 2WW for a 4/4 god. Creatures you control that are enchanted or equipped have double strike. Seems pretty good in this deck. Sometimes you're going to be swinging for 20 damage just because of that one line of text. Second line of text on Halvar, God of Battle. At the beginning of each combat, you may attach target aura or enchantment attached to target creature you control to target creature you control.
So you get to move some stuff around.
Yeah, seems a little bit redundant with the wording, but as long as you have something that's aura'd or equipment up, you can shift that to another creature.
Okay, so I could see how you would want that. It gives you more flexibility, especially because you have really high equip costs in a lot of these things.
Right.
So shifting things around could be good. It's not cheating something that's unequipped onto something else, though. It has to be equipped in order to move it around.
That is the one kind of like low side to this card. However,
double strike. There's a whole other card that we haven't read yet.
And when it does work, you're again pseudo ramping or, you know, adding mana to your
pool. Yeah, cheating that mana is great.
By switching that for free, right.
Awesome. There's a sword on the backside too, by the way. We're not even done.
Yeah. So the other one, which is also equally as good, Sword of the Realms, 1W for legendary artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+0 and has vigilance. Good in this deck. Whenever equipped creature dies, return it to its owner's hand. And the equip cost is 1W. So, okay. See, really good in this deck. You know, you don't have many creatures, so when they die, they're very valuable. The fact that they would return back to your hand is very, very valuable in a deck like this.
Yeah, we mentioned about protecting your creatures. This is a little bit of a slower way of protecting them, but it's still protection right there. You want to pump your power. You said you like vigilance. I also like that even though the god side is what you see, you know, you can still play the sword off the top of your deck with your commander's ability.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that either until I read the Zendikar Rising release notes that said that
you can play
the other side. You know, you can't cheat Halvar, the creature,
sure,
onto the battlefield, be like, oh, just I'm casting the swordy part with my, no. But you can play it off the sword part off the top of your library with your commander, which is pretty cool. All right, so you've added 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 creatures so far. Yep. That's great.
Yeah.
You're up the creature count before. Moving into a new section, you have one more creature to add.
Yes. So we're moving into a section that's called Long Live Phyrexia. There's a reason, Craig, that I chose this deck.
Craig.
And of course it's because this deck just goes so well with Infect. You know, I'm doing a little bit of recruiting for Infect right now. You know, do you like perfection? Do you like feeling complete? You should play Blighted Agent. So Blighted Agent is 1W for a 1/1 Infect Human Rogue. And it says Blighted Agent is unblockable. So an unblockable 1/1 with Infect. Simple enough, you know, for 1W. But once,
super simple, yeah.
But once you start adding in cards like Colossus Hammer or the Belt of Strength or whatever,
there's a new card, Belt of Strength, that will make it a 10/10.
Exactly. So now you've got two cards in the deck that make this thing instantly lethal, that you can cheat the equipment cost with your commander. This just seemed like a no-brainer. They just reprinted it in the Mystery Booster Box store edition. So it comes in foil, which I love. Just overall incredible. And for 50 cents, it's, again, like a no-brainer. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, yeah, you're probably going to kill someone, right? Like, you're going to play this. People are going to be like, it's okay, I have time. And then you're going to play something crazy off the top of your commander, and suddenly you've run out of time.
They're dead.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, I guess Blighted Agent is a thing. This is a whole category, isn't it?
This is a whole category. So
keep going.
So
keep going. Next card.
Next, we have Grafted Exoskeleton.
Of course we do.
Another one of my favorite cards. Again, it's an equipment, so you can cheat it out and attach it to something with this commander. But it's a 4 CMC equipment that says equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has Infect. Now, it also has the text, whenever Grafted Exoskeleton becomes unattached from a permanent, sacrifice that permanent. That's going to come into play sometimes in this, you know, especially with some of the battle tricks that you're going to be doing. But again, that's why we have things like Sun Titan or the Mantle of the Ancients to be able to get something like this back, or the creatures that you lost back. It has equip 2, so, you know, for 4 CMC, you can get this off the top of your library with your commander. Pretty easy to switch around at 2 CMC.
I mean, it was a pretty big cost to switch around if you have to kill the creature behind it.
It so you're is, not like, but the payoff is there. You know, as long as you have a creature with evasion and infect, now they have to choose whether to, let's say they do have a flyer and you've equipped this to your flyer. Is their flyer going to live? Yeah, it's like, going to get the -1/-1
You might sacrifice your stupid ground creature to get this on a flying Trigon Predator. You know, something like that. Okay, exactly. That makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. We're not done, are we?
No, we're definitely not done. Then we've got Corrupted Conscience, which is another 50-cent card. Grafted Exoskeleton was $4.50, by the way.
Okay, yeah. So you definitely costing a little bit with Grafted Exoskeleton.
We're creeping into the price a little bit, but I think that card is...
You're still
is,
way underpriced, by the way. Like, you're still below $20.
We're going to make up for it. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. We're almost done. Okay.
So next we've got Corrupted Conscience, which is an aura enchantment for 3 blue-blue.
Ooh, aura matters. I like that.
Yeah, right? Exactly. See, the fact that equipment and auras are all right, within effect. Yeah.
I like that.
So this says, you control enchanted creature. So already a good card. You know, that's typically what the...
It's a 2-for-1 because you are taking someone's creature and denying them the creature. It's a removal spell and you get the creature.
It's a removal spell. It's a creature spell almost for you. And it says equipped creature has infect, or enchanted creature has infect. So you can take anybody's huge flyer, give it to yourself, and now it has infect, and now you can start piling things on top of it.
It's just like, you have a dragon, I have a dragon, except for it has infect. It's going to kill you in one turn.
Oh my God, you just saying that just makes me want like a fire-breathing dragon, although you can't pump red into this, whatever. We'll get into that. I'm dreaming.
But by the way, like, I am actually a big fan of this card, to steal something, because a lot of times creatures that are infect, like, they're made like that specifically weak.
They're and made so to be apply, fragile.
Yeah, they're made to be fragile.
Yep.
They're made to be not very, very powerful, meaning not a lot of power.
Right.
And when you can get around that by either equipping something to it or stealing something that has no business having infect, it just takes the power level of that creature and ramps it up like crazy.
I really feel like if they were to redesign this card, it would be 7 CMC.
Wow.
Because
you have the experience playing with this. Like, it is that powerful of a card.
Well, so 5 CMC is already the CMC that they give to stealing another creature.
Yeah. Control Magic, which was 4 CMC, was deemed pretty powerful. And so they don't usually print it at that cost anymore.
Right. So now in the recent times and the modern era, you're looking at a 5 CMC steal somebody.
And sometimes it's conditional too.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
And so to also give it infect, it just really sets this card apart.
Okay.
All right. One last card. I bet you've probably figured out what it is. Triumph of the Hordes. So we're going to spend the rest of the budget on this card, but I promise you it's worth it.
This is half the budget. This is $15
it
on
is,
this
but
one
it's
card.
It's worth it, DJ. It's going to be, I bet
you. Well, let's read it to us, and then you can convince me that it's worth half the budget.
Okay. So it's a sorcery for 2 green-green that says, until end of turn, creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample and infect. So this is going to win you more than half of your games, I would predict. Is as long as you draw, where's the data for that? I don't know. Every game that I've played where I've drawn this card, it usually takes out at least one person, if not multiple people. So basically what you need to do is set up a board state. Any board state, hopefully you have multiple creatures, right? So,
but I mean, we know that the creature count on this deck is pretty low. What if you just have your commander and a Trigon Predator? You know what I mean? And the Trigon Predator has a cool aura on it.
Sure. So now you're giving both of those creatures +1/+1. You're giving them evasion in the form of trample, and you'll take out at least one player. The nice thing about like Triumph of the Hordes versus say a Corrupted Conscience
Agent. It's a lot of damage now that I'm thinking about it.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Especially depending on what equipment or aura you have attached to that Trigon Predator.
Yeah, you're right.
But you know, something like a Blighted Agent or a Corrupted Conscience, you know, you're kind of projecting to the board that, you know, in one turn, I'm going to be very dangerous. Mm. With Triumph of the Hordes, you're not projecting that yet. Your board state's just your board state, and you can kind of come out of nowhere with a Triumph of the Hordes and people aren't ready for it. You know, if they've tapped out to play their board out and they don't have a counterspell or a removal, you know, they're in a pretty precarious situation. Whereas, you know, with Corrupted Conscience or Blighted Agent, they've got a turn to kind of plan that out. With Triumph of the Hordes, they don't. You know, it's a very kind of right before they die kind of thing. And now if you do have a wide enough board, like let's say that Verdant Embrace put out enough
that makes sense,
you know.
Yeah.
So now you've got a wide enough board where you give them all +1/+1, trample, infect, you can take out 2 to 3 to, you know, win the game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but with Verdant Embrace, like, it is crazy insane.
Yeah,
you know, but there's not a lot of token creation, not a lot of go wide in this deck. This is very much of a go tall deck.
Yes,
you know, and I think that Triumph of the Hordes wins games the most when you go wide. But it probably kills players really well going tall. And you know what? One card in your deck that kills a player, like, that's a card worth playing.
Absolutely. Especially for 4 CMC, because like what you'd compare this card to is like a Craterhoof or a Raizen Forerunners. And those are very high CMC, 8 CMC to cast, right? And there's ways to cheat those out, like with, you know, Natural Order or Pattern of Rebirth. But both of those ways are also dependent on sacrificing a creature to get that effect. And, you know, this gives you all of that, but for 4 CMC, always. No conditions, 4 CMC, you don't lose a creature, and you get a very similar effect to, like, a Craterhoof or a Raizen Forerunners.
Okay. I mean, I'm sold. I mean, but part of me is like, no, I'm sold. That's a great, I mean, it's, if you kill, here's the thing, you've described to me a perfect situation where you can have something on the board, and it kills someone. Why wouldn't I play a card that just kills a player?
And it's not necessarily dependent on having the other three infect cards in here, but with the other three infect cards, it really just makes that so much more effective.
Mm. Because yeah, you get more infect, it builds on each other.
You could have chipped into somebody with somebody else, and then they're like, I got rid of the Grafted Exoskeleton, or I killed that, you know, enchanted infect creature. Okay, I'm safe.
If we let you off the chain and like, or the leash, and like, you could do anything you wanted to this deck rather than 10 and 10.
I would load it up with
how many more infect creatures would you add?
I would add the ones with evasion. I would do the one with proliferate. You know, I'd do
like three more Drake. Or like five more.
I don't know. I'd have to really look. At least three. It'd be at least the flyers. It'd be at least the two white flyers
Viral
and the blue
Drake,
flyer.
Whatever, like that. Yep. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Okay. That is your 10 in, 10 out. Look, I love the creatures that you've included because, like, I agree with you. The creature count was low. So upping those creatures was really relevant and all of them interacted really positively with auras and enchantments. Trigon Predator is just a solid card that needs to be answered and does a lot through attacking. Right. And of course, Trademark come in here, give some good infect stuff. And by the way, the infect stuff, it actually works really well because, you know, you have the ways to cheat big things onto these creatures.
I think this precon out of all the precons in the past couple years seems to work the best with that strategy.
Okay. I agree. And then one thing to note, by the way, equipment is a really popular strategy.
Yeah.
You know, you did not have an easy task like trying to upgrade this deck for just $30, just 10 cards. Because if you look at equipment, the average equipment, just the most popular equipments, is over $10.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Like over if you look on EDH years, Rec, yeah, you just look at all the equipments there. And yeah, some of them are cheap that like have been reprinted in Commander decks. And other ones are just like super duper expensive. Like, for example, the average sort of Body and Mind, Feast and Famine, Hearth and Home, or whatever like that. Yep. The average price is over $30. That's more than the pre-constructed, you know, that's basically the price of this whole deck for a lot of these swords and the price of our whole upgrade for one of those swords.
Yeah.
So it's really valuable that we do get these budget upgrade guides because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, put a sword of in there. Do you want like
sure
yeah like eventually if you love this deck
and a
yeah, maybe you do
and a mana vault
yeah exactly like anyone can say put like $30 on there, but finding the right auras and the right equipment to go in this deck is really good and really powerful. And also reprinting some of these auras and equipment to bring the price down is really relevant too.
Yeah, they've really been awesome in reprinting a lot of the staples in the past year and a half or so with like all the Sword Ofs, Mask of Memory, the Greaves, Batterskull, you know, even Blackblade Reforged in the Gideon box. You know,
yeah, that's pretty cheap now. That's a good one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd put Blackblade Reforged in this deck, too.
I would absolutely throw Blackblade Reforged in this, yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, so here's the thing. Just suggesting a bunch of cards that you should put into this deck doesn't make the deck better. It just gives you a problem, right?
Right.
We need to tell you what cards to take out so that you can actually improve the quality of this deck to make sure that it can hang with your friends at your commander tables. So let's talk about what cards we're going to be removing so that we can improve the power of this deck.
Yep.
Craig, what's the first to go?
The first one, unfortunately, is the other commander, Storvald Frost Giant Jarl. It's just too high CMC for what we're trying to do.
Making Blighted Agent to 7/7.
Awesome, right? If that's your strategy, cool. Get a lot more infect creatures and go this strategy.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, in what we're trying to do, it just seems a little bit... almost slow. Win more and slow. Really, yeah, slow, exactly. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't do what we're trying to do here in this deck. And just too high CMC.
Yeah. I mean, like, your commanders are the most likely thing to be out on the battlefield, and activating this gives a +3/+3 for 7 mana. It doesn't even remove a blocker. It just makes it a 1/1. They're probably going to be chumping anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sold on it. I think it's a good cut.
Next would be Song of Inspiration. So this is, you know, a fun card. I do like how, you know, they have a lot of cards in here that make you
roll
dice.
What does it do?
So it's 3 green-green for an instant. It says, choose up to 2 target permanent cards in your graveyard, roll a d20, and add the mana value of those cards. If it's between a 1 and a 14, return those cards to your hand. If you roll a 15+, return those cards to your hand, and you gain life equal to their total mana value. So
it's 5 mana, return 2 cards, you might gain some life.
It's a 5 mana regrowth that may gain you some life.
Okay. Yep. We've seen 5 mana return 2 things, like Wildest Dreams can do it, return 1 thing for 3 or 2 things for 5.
Okay.
Once in Future King... Once I've forgotten, sure. I should probably know the names of cards before I say.
These are fringe cards that I don't really know, and I feel like there's a reason for that. You know, like, this is very cool. You know, in certain decks, I'm sure this is great. The fact that you're rolling dice is very fun and very thematic for the Dungeons & Dragons. But, you know, as far as a power level of this card and, you know, the CMC, it just doesn't seem to fit with what we're trying
to
do.
Let me compare it to this card, Once in Future. It's an uncommon, so it's cheap, from Throne of Eldraine. It's 3 and a green, so it's 1 mana less for an instant, still an instant.
Okay.
Return target card from your graveyard to your hand, put up to 1 other target card from your graveyard on top of your library and exile this. And then you have Adamant. So if you actually invest a lot of green into it, then you actually just return 2 cards.
Okay.
So it's 4 mana, return 2 cards, but it has a lot of green in this.
Semi-conditional,
cost.
Sure.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather pay for 4 mana rather than 5?
I would much rather pay 4 mana over 5.
Even if it has a little bit of an extra green requirement?
The only way that I would play this is, let's say I have the Witherbloom guy, the Witherbloom dragon or something like that.
And, the life gain matters.
Right, the life gain matters. Right, exactly.
All right.
But
sorry,
even
dude.
Then you're like a 1 in 4 chance of getting that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like flexible removal. By the way, return, it's your return is more valuable when you can return it for cheap and then immediately deploy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All tutors, whether you're tutoring your graveyard or whether you're tutoring your library, they become more powerful and more relevant the cheaper they are, because then it's the faster you can deploy what you're tutoring for.
Right. 5 CMC, that's such a late game play.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of another reason why we are trying to cut the next card. And it's Realm Cloak Giant, 5 white-white for a 7/7 giant with vigilance. But it also has a adventure side to it that's cast off. 3 white-white, destroy all non-giant creatures. So if we were playing the Storvald deck, this may be something that we leave in.
Because Storvald's a giant.
Exactly.
Is your other guy a giant? I forgot.
Our other guy is not a giant.
Boo.
Yeah.
All right. So it would be really cool if your commander was a giant and you could just like board wipe everything but it. But your giant count, I think that what you would want is basically you stack up all your stuff on a giant and board wipe and have your giant be fine and have all these auras and equipment on it and you attack it.
Exactly.
But if the giant count isn't high enough.
Yeah. It's kind of it's basically just a board wipe, which.
Board wipes can be good though, right?
They can be, especially if you're, if you're first starting out, like if this is your first deck, maybe you leave this in and take something else out just because, you know, meta dependent is when you would want a lot more board wipes and things like that, just to be able to control the board. But at 7 CMC in such a kind of late game play,
as a creature, it's not that great.
As a creature, it's not that great. And even as a board wipe, 5 CMC, that's conditional, that I don't think any other of the cards in this deck meet the giant.
No, I don't think. You added a Sun Titan.
Yeah. Isn't that a Titan? Is that a giant?
It's a giant.
Oh, okay. Hey. Yeah. Anyways, still not worth running this
card. Here's one thing, though, is that like sometimes go tall decks do like board wipes because you only have one creature that you've invested a bunch of stuff into, and then everyone else is going wide across the board. So,
sure.
You know, it's not as symmetrical where you just kill one thing, all your equipment falls off, yep. You know, and then you kill a bunch of other stuff, and then you can redeploy one more thing,
yep.
And then suddenly regain all that value again. So I could see how, you know, this could be a fine card, but I think that's more in an equipment strategy where your auras won't die as well.
I think it's an easy cut, especially if you have the money for like Tragic Arrogance or something like that.
Oh man, Tragic Arrogance or Slash the Ranks or something like that. Like something where Tragic Arrogance is great because like you can keep the one creature and then kill everything else. By the way, you say the budget, isn't Tragic Arrogance like super cheap too?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's not expensive. Okay. Great. I said that kind of facetiously.
Like. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good choice. Next up, I have another one that I don't know. Serum Visions, one blue for a sorcery, draw a card, scry two. Doesn't like these little cantrips, they smooth out your deck. They make sure you don't get mana screwed.
Craig, they do. Look, it's a great card. Why are you it's a great card. Serum Visions? Before everybody crucifies me, it's a great card, okay? It's good. And it does. It smooths out your deck. It smooths out your draw. You know, it replaces itself, allows you to kind of top deck manipulate, you know, which is something we were talking about. Yeah,
you know, put something on top for your commander.
Yeah.
But kind of, it's scry. Like,
you know, the fact that it's a sorcery, you know, a lot of decks that play a lot of sorceries and instants have ways to get them back. This is not one of those decks. And so because it's a one-time kind of use and
nothing more. It just draws you the card and it doesn't do very much else.
It replaces itself. It doesn't really draw you.
Yeah, you're right.
It replaces a card. And then scry two, like there's a Sphinx in here that every time it attacks allows you to scry three. Like that's just better because it's repeatable. You know,
I mean, you're comparing a big flying Sphinx to a one mana cantrip.
Fair. Brainstorm's already in the deck.
Yeah.
And stays in the deck.
So basically you're saying like, look, if we're looking at cantrips, Brainstorm
is lets just
you
better.
Really set up the top of your deck.
Strictly
your
better. Yep.
This one, like you have to be lucky and be in the scry too to be able to set up an equipment or aura.
It's sorcery speed, whereas Brainstorm's instant speed. So you have to use, you know, Serum Visions on your turn and you need permanence in this deck. You need permanence more than you need instants and sorceries. If your sorcery is not drawing you more than just replacing itself, I feel like it's just not worth it in this deck.
I mean, yeah, fair. And honestly, all the other cards that you added in, I feel like are better than that. So,
right.
So I'm on board.
Cool.
I am for sure on board for the next one because the next one.
I passed the test.
I get what you mean though. Like, cause here's the thing, like you have the idea of you desperately want to set up your top deck, but you have to be lucky to scry two. It's not like Brainstorm where you have access to everything in your card
right.
And you set up your next card draw.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you put two back, you put something that you're going to draw for turn and then the equipment you want to cast off the top. And then you just get it with your commander.
Right.
This one, you have to be lucky. It has to already be on the top of your library.
Totally.
It's like not, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I hate this card. I'm glad you're getting rid of it.
I'm not a big fan of this card either. You know, it's Abundant Growth. It's one green for enchantment aura, enchant land. It says, whenever Abundant Growth enters the battlefield, draw a card. Okay, it replaces itself. Enchanted land has tap, add one mana of any color. So on the surface, it seems cool, right? Like on the surface, you know, if you haven't played a lot, it's like, oh, I get to ramp.
It replaces itself. No. How bad is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And it's ramp, right?
No, it's not. It's color fixing. This isn't ramp at all.
Yeah. This is not ramp. And so like it fills this weird ramp slot and I don't like it. I mean, here's the thing. Your commander can play it off the top and then it does replace itself. So that's something. Maybe I even like it a little bit better than Serum Visions because of that one single case scenario. But honestly, like at one mana, you don't want to just be cantripping and replacing itself. You want a ramp.
Yeah, absolutely. This I mean, you're basically, like, it comes in on the land that it's already tapped on and then-
Get out of here.
Yeah. Use this in draft on five color decks. If you're drafting, if you're drafting and go with a five-color strategy, decks. Draft this card.
Craig says, all right, next up, you got a few auras that are a little bit underwhelming, right?
Yeah, there seem to be a few. You know, they had to load this thing up with auras and equipment, and the equipment seems to be more valuable in this strategy because it can be redeployed. You know, even though there are some ways of redeploying your auras in this deck, you can always redeploy equipment, which is nice.
So you decided to cut shielding plaques, one and a Simic. It's either a green or a blue for this three mana value aura. It enchants a creature. When shielding plaques enters the battlefield, draw a card. Enchanted creature can't be the target of spells or abilities your opponents control. That's it. So it protects it.
Yeah.
Replaces itself. It's fine.
It's an okay card. Yeah.
Okay. Angelic Gift is one and a white for an enchantment aura. Enchant creature. Angelic Gift enters the battlefield. Draw a card. These replace itself, Craig.
Yeah. Great. Awesome.
Enchanted creature has flying.
Yeah. I mean, there's better in Griff's Boon.
Yeah. So it feels like, because here's the thing, you have these cards that do minimal effect but replace themselves, means that they're slow because you pay mana and then you just keep moving through your deck. But, you know, but everything is really slow because just giving your creature flying isn't really worth two mana. You know what I mean? It isn't even worth the card, and so it just ends up being really slow.
Right.
I feel like you've accelerated the pace of your deck by taking out some of these cards that just cantrip and are just enchantments for the sake of being enchantments.
Right.
We also have Eel Umbra, one and a blue for a flashy aura.
Okay.
Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has totem armor. That's protection and some pump. It's a combat trick out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's just, there's better totem armors out there. And again, it's just not enough. It doesn't give any sort of evasion. It just pumps the creature. This is an automatic takeout. Whereas, you know, Angelic Gift in the right deck, let's say you were going Jarl and you were going with the Infect build, you know, Angelic Gift may work in that, because now you're giving evasion to one of your infect creatures. But Eel Umbra just by itself is probably the worst card in the deck, in my opinion.
Oof.
Yeah.
Tough.
It's big words. Yeah.
Big words. All right. Next, you have Valorous Stance. You're taking out a removal spell. One and a white for an instant. Target creature gains indestructible until end of turn. Protection. Destroy target creature with toughness 4 or greater.
Yeah, good card. I mean, it is a removal spell or something that can give it protection until end of turn, but
it's not an aura or an enchantment.
Exactly. It's not a permanent, and you're really looking for permanence to really kind of stay into the late game to be able to take this deck home.
Finally, you have Viridian Longbow. It's an equipment for one mana. Equipped creature has tap. This creature deals one damage to any target, and it has equip 3.
So great card equipped with, you know, Basilisk Collar is what we typically see something like this equipped, you know, comboed with. But, you know, in this deck, it's just not consistent enough. The equip cost is a little bit high for what its ability is.
It's only not one impressive damage. Is it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
and do you want this on your Voltron creature? You've built it up. You have all this other stuff on it. And you're just like, pa-pow, one damage. It's like, no.
Yeah, it's typically something that you give to a backup creature. You know, something.
And
that
you don't have a lot of
blocker.
Creatures in the deck. You might now that you've upgraded it, but
even still, you're still light on creatures, and this doesn't seem like the right card for the deck.
Feels good. All right. I like your cuts. I think that what it has done is actually sort of accelerated your deck a little bit. You're not playing do nothing cards and using mana on them to then draw more cards.
Right.
You know, you've actually, you know, accelerated the pace of your deck by having things that impact the board and things that hold equipment and auras better.
I think we somewhat increased the mana value of the deck, but with the, you know, just the amount of card draw and everything that you're going to get, and, you know, it's all pretty low mana value stuff that we're replacing it with. So I think it should help smooth it out.
Well, tell us a little bit about how this deck is going to play, you know, with your commander, with all of your upgrades, because we've done some testing on this. You're going to be able to see a future extra turns where we play these upgraded pre-constructed decks against each other. Tell us, from your experience, how is this deck playing and play out?
I think it plays, you know, with these changes, it plays very well. You know, it is still a very low CMC deck, so you are able to play and string together a lot of cards in the late game, you know, 2, 3, 4 cards per turn, which, you know, is really what you want to be doing. And the fact that your commander can cast things off the top of the deck, and you can do that without revealing it to other people, just gives you a lot of options and a lot of strategy upper hands that, you know, are very unique to this and are very fun to play. Honestly, I am definitely going to be building this deck for myself. And, you know, just the overall abilities and CMC and everything of this commander just really, really sings and works.
I like the hard, like there's some hard hitting equipment in here and some powerful auras. Yes. I like the idea of just like taking everything from your graveyard back onto something. It has haste out of nowhere and just smashing into someone. I think that sounds super duper fun. Well, thank you so much for walking us through this pre-constructed deck. It sounds amazing. I can't wait to see your super personal upgraded version. Just kidding. I don't want to be infected to death.
It'll be fun.
All right. To the listeners, what do you think about this pre-constructed deck? What do you think about Aura of Courage? Any cards that we missed? Any cards that you want to add or take away? You want to yell at Craig for how good of a job he did or whatever? Tell us in the comments down below.
I definitely want to hear what you guys would have put in, how you guys would have switched it up. I'm always down for that. So
let us know down there in the comments. While you're down there, make sure to like and subscribe and do all those YouTube things.
Yep.
Yeah. I also want to thank Card Kingdom. Look, we mentioned all of these great cards. You're going to want to pick up some Infect cards. A Corrupted Conscience for 50 cents. You're going to want to go out and buy one of those right now. No Head brainer. On over to cardkingdom.com/commandzone to use our affiliate link and make sure that you let them know that we sent you over there because, you know what? They support us and we think that they're a great company. So Card Kingdom. .com/command.
And then once you get all those cards, you know, you're going to want to protect your Triumph of the Hordes as long as you get it, which I promise you it will win you games. You're going to want to protect those in Ultra Pro sleeves, Ultra Pro deck boxes, Ultra Pro play mats. Everything that they make is just top quality. They really don't skimp on anything and they always stay up to date with the sets, all the artwork and stuff like that.
Awesome stuff.
Yep.
Okay, there is no end step because this is a pre-con upgrade guide. And on our cleanup step, we want to make sure that we give a big thanks to our amazing team here at the Command Zone, Lady Danger, Manson Log. Hey, look.
Me.
It's you. Craig Blanchett. Thank you. Ashlyn Rhodes, Rose, Alfred Asaka, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Dan, Jordan Pritchin, Arthur Metacraft, Sam Waldo, Grav Galati, and a special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, who does the living card animations sometimes behind us and the beginning and end of this episode at Living Cards MTG. Craig. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I had a blast. This is always fun.
This deck is so cool, and I'm really glad that you got to share with everyone your expertise in it. So thank you.
Me too. We'll make everybody perfect.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Peace.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.